are the trees on the last page of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. And we'll read from verse 6. And he said unto me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For outside are thieves, and sorcerers, fornicators, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the spirit of the bright say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is in thirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life of healing. For I testify unto every man that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the word of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifieth these things, by the way, that is a Christ. He who testifieth these things saith, surely I have come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The passage that we have read together has a conclusion on Holy Scripture. And practically all the great doctrines that we find in the Bible are concentrated in the verses that we've read together. There are four of them, four I just want to point out. And the first one is the person of Christ. And of course that is the praise. The person of Christ. And there's a lovely outline here of the person of the Lord Jesus in the passages that we've read together. Now, the second one is the gospel. And there's a lovely outline of the gospel here in the synoptic form. And again, the word of God. The third great message that we find here is in relation to the word, and three warnings in connection with it. And then finally, there's a threefold intimation of the coming again of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you look at the passage, you'll find that these are the four great outstanding things that in the passage. You know, any man who writes a book or who preaches a sermon must always have a clear outline in his mind. And first of all, he tells you what he wants to say. There's always a preface. And he tells us what he has to say. And then in the main part of any sermon or any book, there's an exposition of what he has said in the preface. And then after he has finished, there must be, a conclusion to it, and an application of it. So that is a beautiful way that the Bible is constructed. In the book of Genesis, there we get the end there, in right at the beginning. And then we go through the whole Bible until we come towards the end. And as we come towards the end, we get an application. And we get the summarized, just of what has been said in the whole book. So this beautiful, beautiful application and conclusion in the Word of God, these four great doctrines are brought before us in a summarized fashion. Now just a word or two about the person of Christ. There's a lovely list of titles here of our Lord. Notice what it says. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And right in the center, right of these five great titles of the Lord Jesus, we get that lovely name, I, Jesus. Now these five great titles here will cover practically the teaching of the Word of God connected with the person of Christ. He's the Alpha and the Omega. I don't need to tell you that that is the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. That's what you might call the grammatical title. And that is in relation to the Word of God. The Lord Jesus is a living word, but he has given us the written word. He is the Alpha and the Omega, and the Holy Scripture is all about him. He is the Messiah in the Old Testament, but it is the Savior in the New Testament, and it's all comprehended in this lovely title, the Alpha and the Omega. That is the grammatical title in relation to the word. And then the second one is the beginning and the end. It'd be interesting to look at the different places in Scripture where we get that word in the beginning. As a matter of fact, it's the very first sentence in the Bible. From the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We get it again in the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word. We get it again in the first epistle of John. And there again it's in the beginning. That was written from the beginning. So, you know, the one that was the beginner, one of all things was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the creator. The first chapter of the epistle of Colossians makes that perfectly plain. The Lord Jesus, he was there at the beginning of the creation. And as far as Christianity is concerned, he too is the beginner. The beginning and the end. And when it comes to that point, when the heavens and earth will pass away, the same hand that flung the galaxies into space will be the one responsible for taking it away and bringing in a new heaven and a new earth. That is the creatorial title of the Lord Jesus. The beginning and the end. And then the first and the last. That is his dispensational title. You find it a number of times in Scripture. You get it in Isaiah. And you also get it in other passages in the epistles. The first and the last is dispensational title. And then the next one is the root and the offspring of David. That is his in relation to the nation of Israel. So it is a messianic title. And all the different things connected with Christ as the Messiah in relation to the nation of Israel is enclosed in this title. The root and the offspring. The root from which David sprang. And David is his offspring. And with the Lord Jesus here in relation to the nation of Israel, we find it in this title. Well, the root on the offspring of David. Root. But then the last one, the most beautiful, the bright and morning star. Bright morning star. This is a beautiful, beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus as the coming one for you and for me. And then right in the center of these five great titles, we get that lovely name. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast. Brighter far thy face to see, brighter than thy breast me less. Jesus. Isn't that lovely name, the human name? But again, let me repeat. Again, I believe that today, in speaking to him or speaking by him, please do give him his title. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first great subject here, in synoptic form here at the end of the Bible, not the first one, right? In the Bible. And then secondly, we get the gospel. And here again, it's in very concise terms. Notice what it says, Christ. The Spirit of the Bride, say come. Spirit of the Bride, let him that heareth, say come. Him, let him that is athirst, come. Come. Him, and whosoever will, let him take. And the water of life will freely him take. Water. Notice the two that are in association with the preaching of the gospel. The Spirit with the Bride. This word, the Spirit of God, it occurs 350 times in the Bible. First, the Spirit of God. But this is the last mention. And it is in relation with the Bride. And it's the Holy Spirit of God and the Bride. And here is the final appeal of the gospel in God's Word. If we wanted the doctrine of the gospel, we'd have to go over to the Epistle of the Romans. How do we get the great, outstanding doctrines connected with the gospel? But here, it is in a very concise, synoptic form. And three times over, we get the word, come, and come, over the word. That's one of the first words that a child learns. And we all understand what it means there. And little girl, child, learning to walk. The parent puts out his arm and say, come. And plant it on the ground. You put out your arm and say, plant it on the ground. That's a word that we all understand. One of the first words that we learn is come. But the second word it is take. Take the water of life freely. Well, how simple it is, and yet how profound. The invitation to come. And the invitation to take. Come. And then we get that word, the water of life. And that is the gospel, the water of life. And then we get that lovely word, whosoever. We want to look at these words, the way the gospel is presented here, how simple and yet is presented. So first of all, the person of Christ. And then this outline first of the gospel. And the third one is in relation to the word of God. And there are three warnings in connection with it. The first one is, don't put a seal upon it. First, one of the greatest treasures that we have is the complete will of God in written form. You know, I don't think that we realize in this country just the precious and valuable gift that we have from God is the complete word of God in our own language. I have often felt that any pioneer missionary going into a territory where the gospel never has been preached, his first priority is to learn the language. And to get a thorough knowledge of the language. And the second is to give them the word of God in their own tongue. I thank God for men that have given their life for the translation of scripture into the different languages in the world. We've had a little participation in that. I want to pay tribute to two men that I know, my own personal life, that have translated the whole Bible into the language of the people, and I spent a lifetime in doing it. And one is David Long. He translated the whole Bible into Chokwe. That is the language that we speak. And I thank God for men that do that. And then my beloved brother, Albert Horton. You possibly know him too. He, too, has spent a lifetime of over 50 years in translating the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation into the Low Valley language. And that is a wonderful contribution. As far as we are concerned, we don't have to do that. We thank God for men like Wycliffe, William Wycliffe, and Tyndale, and these men that actually give their life to the translation of the Word of God into our tongue. But what a treasure it is. Oh, thank God for God's precious word. And that we have it in our own language. And that we're able to understand it by the help of the instruction of the Holy Spirit of God. We thank God for that. The first warning is, don't put a seal upon it. As many a person has a Bible, but they never open it and read it. Don't put a seal upon it. And then the second warning is, don't add to it. You know, there's some people today would add to the Word of God. You take, for instance, the Mormons. They regard the Book of Mormon as of equal authority with God's Word. And Mrs. Mary Baker Eddy, who founded Christian Science, she says that her book, Science and Health, has equal authority with God's Word. And then another thing, the Church of Rome today have added about 40 different dogmas to the Word of God. And they claim that that has equal authority with the Word of God. Don't add to it. And the third thing is, don't take away from it. You know, that's what the liberal theologian does. Passages of the Word of God that they don't like, they cut it out. And there is an increasing tendency in the religious world today to discount the complete authority and inspiration of Holy Scripture. So these are the three words connected with the Word of God. Don't put a seal upon it. Don't add to it. And don't take away from it. Take the Word of God as it is. And then anything that we learn from it, we have an absolute command to obey what we find in God's Word. So first of all, we get the person of Christ. And then we get the gospel. And then we get the Word of God. Now the third thing is the coming again of Christ. And I suppose you noticed in reading the passage that three times over we get the coming of Christ mentioned. We get it first of all in verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book. Blessed is this keeping the words. And the Lord's coming here is in connection with our absolute loyalty to God's precious word and the teachings of it. Connected with the word. Now the second one, we find it in verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, and to give every man according to his word shall, according as his word shall be. Here it is in relation to the Bema, the coming again of Christ, and immediately after that, the judgment seat. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his word shall be. The Bema. My beloved brethren and sisters here this morning, I think we have to recognize that after this little time down here, and life has passed, the next thing, after the coming of the Lord, is the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, and it's very important to notice that. My whole life down here as a believer will be manifested at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's only got a grip of me. That one day, my whole life as a believer will be manifested, revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. I wouldn't care very much what people thought of me. But I'm very, very diligent to keep it in my mind what Christ thinks of me. But that's always in view. That one day my whole life, my personal life, my social life, and my church life, is all going to be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. So here, the second one is to give every man according as his work shall be. I remember in Durban, a good many years ago in South Africa, at a conference, I was speaking on the judgment seat of Christ, and I must have made it very graphic, because a brother came to me after the meeting. He says, "Brother, the way you put it, that sounds like a court martial." I said, "My dear brother, that's the furthest thing from my mind. But remember, it's not a Sunday school prize giving. You know, when I think that my whole life, first of all, personal, and then secondly, my social life, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." That is my relationship with my brother, with my sister. my social relationships, and that is going to be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. And then my church life. We get that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is speaking there about he laid a foundation of a local assembly, and he said, let every man take care how he builds on that foundation. And that means to say that everyone in a local assembly has to be careful how he behaves. You know, if I lay myself out in the assembly to build and to find and to beautify the people of God, God will bless me. But if I make up my mind, if I don't get my own way, I'm going to smash and destroy that assembly or divide it. God will take a dealing with me. And there's a warning there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about it. If any man can defile the temple of God, him shall God defile. The word is the same in both places. It could mean, if any man destroy the temple of God, him shall God destroy. What does that mean? If I lay my hand on any assembly and divide it, or introduce anything that would split and divide an assembly, God will deal with me. And I have to be awfully careful in my relations in a local church. God help me. And I say this from the bottom of my heart. God helping me, I will never be responsible for introducing anything among God's people that would split and divide. And there are three little words that I've made up my mind I want to give my life to. First of all, building. Building, and then binding. Instead of separating, binding. Binding God's people, and thirdly, beautifying the people of God. Right? Building, and binding, and beautifying. Beloved brethren, let's give ourselves to this. Instead of splitting and dividing and arguing and fighting and all that kind of thing, let's give our time and all our energies to help the people of God and to bind them together in love, one to another, and also the person of Christ. So this second intimation here of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his word shall be. But then the final one at the end, in verse 20, he who testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Now, that word, surely I come quickly, that is the voice of Christ himself. And he says he's coming. And he's coming soon. You know, I believe with all my heart that the way things are going in the world at the present time is heading up for that moment when Christ shall come. I don't believe there's a single thing in the prophetic picture in the Word of God to prevent the Lord coming today. I believe that the next event on the prophetic horizon is the rapture, the coming again of Christ. And all, again, if I realized that he would come today or come soon, again, it would have a practical effect on my life and behavior down here. So the Lord Jesus says, surely, certainly, I come quickly. And as soon as he says that, John bows his head and says, amen, amen. He can still come, Lord Jesus. Oh, beloved friends, he is coming, and he's coming soon. And I think in relation to that, we have to apply these things practically in our hearts and minds. So the four great truths here, first of all, the person of Christ. And then secondly, to get to hear the gospel in all its simplicity. Come, 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 come. And take the water of life freely. And then, the third is our relationship to God's word. The authority and the plenary is inspiration of God's word to keep it until he comes back again. And then finally, the imminent return of the Lord Jesus. And shall we pray? Our blessed God and Father, we commend thy word to thee. We do thank thee for these things. We how beautiful they are, and yet at the same time how solemn they are. And our Father, we do pray that our little lives down here, that it may be our desire to do thy will not only to occupy ourselves with the study of the Word of God, and to saturate ourselves with it,
occupy ourselves
but also to carry out the Word of God. And our Father, we pray that anything that we learn,
but also to carry out it into practice.
We ask for the two beloved people that have been here together during this week.
We ask what a joy it has been.
People that have been here together during this week.
With my beloved
what a joy
and our Father,
as we part one from another.
We do pray,
Father,
and our Father, we may be,
as we part
in the time that thou wouldst have us be,
do pray,
and help us, we pray,
that we may
from
be
day to day,
in the time
to love thee more,
and to
help us, we pray.
We commend us
from day to day,
with thanksgiving more, in the name of the Lord Jesus.
We commend us now to thee,
with thanksgiving.
I just want to say,
in closing,
there are two little words,
in the Portuguese language.
It's a language that we have used
words.
For 60 years.
In the fund,
there are two little words when you're bidding a person to
lie. That we have used for 60 years.
If I never hope to see them again,
bidding a person to lie.
That's fine.
Adios.
If I never hope to
see
them
again. But if you hope to see that person again
shortly, you don't use that word. You don't say adios.
But you say, I pay
or avista.
And that means,
until I see you again.
And beloved, here this morning.
It's not a day,
but it's a day of Easter
until we see you again.